Hello, it's great to have you with me. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. We're surrounded, though, by people who can support us, your family, friends, and professionals, who all play an influential role in shaping our children. Imagine if your parents, teachers, relatives, or carers told you another story. Your life story would be completely different. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. Previously on What We Teach Our Children, Maggie Chibanu shared her passion and mission for resolving bullying. Equally as passionate about teens and particularly girls is my guest this week. Raised in Wollongong, south of Sydney, New South Wales, on the beach in a small loving home, Megan describes her childhood as stereotypical of the time within a patriarchal family structure where dad worked and mum raised the children. Spending much of her recreational time with friends and the family German Shepherd outdoors, Megan is grounded by the simple things in life and appreciates the family values instilled in her that fostered deep connections with her siblings. Megan, it's so wonderful hearing you speak so lovingly of your family and childhood. How do you think that foundation has influenced your parenting style?
Yeah, and that's interesting to think about because I certainly, you know, have held some of those values very closely. So I really value the closeness of our family unit and, you know, really work hard at always creating that connection between us as a family unit. But I also probably moved away from the values of my parents a little bit as well, in that growing up, certainly academically, the value was that, you know, I would do well at school, I would go to university, I would get a high-powered job that paid good money. And my brother certainly followed in that footsteps. I also went to university to become a teacher. But, you know, alternative careers or alternative thought patterns around career weren't really accepted. So I've probably been a little bit more lenient, more open, more accepting, actually, of bringing up my own children in relation to those values, because I guess I think a lot about what our definition of success is. And for me, my definition of success is, you know, enjoying life and finding joy and happiness and being healthy. And, you know, so I guess that value of career, I've kind of allowed my children to just explore and be really open in what they wanted to explore, which was very different for me growing up.
I've actually thought about this very topic and had to reconcile the fact that my parents grew up in a time post-war. So they were born in the late 40s and everything was totally different then. So they were influenced by a time we probably couldn't even imagine. And then they parented accordingly. So for me, the most important thing I could have done was get a trade. And my dad had to, you know, my mum always wanted to be a hairdresser. And so I understand how that pressure can actually leave you feeling. But what do you think it actually taught you about what you should do in life, as well as the way you raised your own children a little bit more freely?
It's a loaded question. There's so much, I think. I mean, if I was to sum it all up, it taught me the value of being a good human. I'm certainly in a place of service and support and purpose is really important to me. And I certainly think growing up with the values of family and connection, and I guess if I've, you know, wanted to instill any values in my own children, it's exactly that. You know, standing in their own truth, living a life that comes from the core of their own well-being and their own happiness and their own desire. So I guess, you know, respecting others and people around them, and I guess in some ways respecting society at large, but not being governed by those expectations and judgments of others and of society. I think that probably is a value that's been really important for me to, you know, support my children with. And in fact, I think all young people these days, I think, you know, young people can be very caught up in how it should be. You know, I should behave a certain way, I should look a certain way, I should have a certain job, I should create a certain career. But, you know, there's not one path. And I think just being able to encourage my own children to follow a path that is intrinsic to them has been really important to me.
What do you think the catalyst was throughout your life that made you commit to what you're doing today?
Well, I think growing up, there were challenges. And while it all sounds rosy, you know, living beachfront, living this idyllic, grounded life with friends and a nuclear family, there were certainly challenges. And there were certainly challenges in my parents' relationship. And there were challenges with my mum's mental health as well. And I didn't really reflect on this until I was much older, but I think I was the youngest child left at home. And I was kind of in the middle of navigating a lot of things that were unfolding at home. And I think that actually has had a really big impact on what I do today. I learned some really valuable lessons around how we support others at a very young age. I guess ignited that desire in me to want to always support others. So I think my childhood probably has had an incredible impact on what I do today. I probably didn't realise that until more recent years as an adult woman.
I'm really keen to understand how you came to Healed Tribe. What's the journey been like in your career to take you from working for other people to launching something so powerful?
So I spent a good part of my career teaching. I was a primary school teacher and obviously always very passionate about supporting young people and educating young people and playing my part in allowing young people to grow. So I've always been in that space of supporting and young people in my world. I got to a point in my teaching career where I was a little bit lost within the system. I just didn't feel like the system was serving our young people or myself in a way that fulfilled me. And so I started to explore some other options, and I started to study a natural therapy called kinesiology, which is an unusual modality that not everybody knows about. And to be honest, when I first started to study, I was very skeptical, but the more I stepped into that space, I was kind of caught in the magic of what kinesiology can hold and help create and change and, you know, support others. So I became a kinesiologist. And as a kinesiologist, I just started to really witness the amount of young people struggling with mental health concern. And it really started to, you know, really impact me in terms of the amount of young people that needed support. And so there was a period of time where I had five young girls all from the same school as clients. They all had eating disorders. And I was watching the process or the experience of the eating disorder just really tear them apart, really impact their families. And I was supporting these young girls and their families, but I couldn't understand why they weren't communicating with each other, why they weren't supporting each other. They're at the same school and none of them knew. It was all very hidden. And I kind of, it inspired a mission in me to, I guess, raise a voice to mental health concern. And in doing that, knowing that we can allow people to reach out for support when they need it, because if it's something that we continue to hide and not talk about because of shame or guilt or whatever that is, then how do people ever reach out for support? So I took these five young girls and their mums away on retreat. I just thought, I'm going to take them away and nurture them. And I saw something really magical unfold, and that was the beginning of Healed Tribe.
Shame and guilt are just two of the broad spectrum of emotional things that can affect us in early childhood. How do you bring those concepts to adolescents who obviously have lived within their family units or experiencing the things they are at school? I mean, how do you actually achieve those results when children have these ingrained patterns in them already?
And I think it's a really intriguing question, because I think there are so many elements to that. But I think a part of that is, yes, certainly connecting with young people, but also connecting with their families. So, you know, certainly through Healed Tribe, we do a bit of wraparound support with parents and carers. We're really passionate about education in the mental health space, so educating people, because we don't understand it. I don't really believe we understand our youth, and I don't really believe we understand mental health concern either. So education plays a big part in that. But I think, you know, the really pivotal part in that is helping young people to truly understand themselves, truly, you know, tap into who they are at the core, beyond their mental health concern, beyond the expectation and judgment, beyond the emotions or generational patterns, you know, that have come through. It's working with young people to truly understand who they are and what their passions are in life and what's their version of success and who are they, independently of anything external.
As a society, our family values and culture have changed exponentially in the last 50 years, even while we've been alive. Where do you think we've gone maybe too far in relation to our children and the expectation the education system will take care of all their needs?
I think life's so multifaceted, isn't it? And I think the education system probably hasn't undergone much change over many, many, many years, yet society's changed, our young people have changed, you know, the world is a different place. And so I'm not sure that we've kept up with that change in relation to, you know, the education that young people are receiving. And we're certainly seeing that, you know, the typical schooling system is not the system for all young people. We're seeing a lot of young people, you know, homeschooling and unschooling and look at alternative schooling programs. And I think, you know, there's been so much change on so many levels across the world. You know, we're raising young people that are so socially aware, that are so globally conscious, that are so driven by technology, but I'm not sure our systems are keeping up.
I'm not sure a lot of people are keeping up because the advances are happening so quickly. With the introduction of AI, it's set to, there's probably not even a word I can use to describe how quickly AI is going to change the way we function as human beings in this space. Given that, what are you trying to achieve by, you know, having these retreats for girls and all the other work you do with families and adolescents?
We're very hands-on, not-for-profit, so we're trying to really support the young people that are right in front of us. You know, there are a lot of tools for mental health out there, and there's a lot of online services, but we really believe in the value of connection, and so we're really about connecting with the young people that are, you know, that we are lucky enough to walk by their side. And what we're trying to achieve is to give those young people really a safe space to land, a safe space where they can be totally accepted, where they, you know, we just meet them where they're at. They can be supported and held while they are trying to navigate the so many challenges that young people face these days. So really we're about, you know, we're about connection, and we're about a safe space, and we're about allowing young people to connect with the range of opportunities, of support structures, of tools, of facilitators, of services that there are there, so that they can find what is right for them. Because not one program, not one process is right for any given young girl or young person. So, you know, for example, at retreats, we immerse young people in 5 or 6 different modalities. They might be involved in some art therapy. They might do some trauma-informed yoga. They might go out on a hike or into the environment. And we do that so young people can experience a wide range of support structures so that they can then choose what's right for them.
People tend to wait for governments to regulate, legislate, support, develop. And as you pointed out earlier, we're having trouble keeping up at the moment. What do you think are the answers to facilitating what's required to fill in the gaps currently that you're experiencing?
And we really see ourselves as filling that gap. You know, we work with a lot of young people who have been in and out of mental health wards, in and out of hospitals, through the systems, and aren't necessarily finding the support that's right for them. So we really see ourselves as filling one of those gaps. And I think that, you know, to answer your question, I think we need a whole range of support structures available for young people. And I think we need to open our perspective on what's right and what's not right, and actually start communicating with young people about what they need. As adults, we're very quick, I think, to want to solve problems and to fix things, but young people are incredible. They're incredibly intelligent. They're incredibly wise and dynamic. And I think if we open up the conversations about what they need for themselves, then they're going to guide us. And yeah, I just think we need a whole range of opportunities and resources and available for those young people to share their voice and to access.
Their time is coming, and I think we really need to prepare them for sharing their voice. There was a really great example out at Fiji in July where 27 students went to The Hague with a lawyer and fought for the case of climate change and the responsibility and accountability angle. They won, which means everything we're seeing, it will be flipped on its head, especially in relation to the future of the planet and climate change. How do you think we can support, therefore, those voices and raise them up for the future that we're actually handing them? It's a legacy of ours.
Absolutely. And I think from our perspective, you know, we're certainly working with young people who need support to find their mental well-being or to access that space of, you know, health and vitality and, you know, thriving in life and success. And so for us, it's about supporting young people to heal and to find that mental well-being or to be, you know, supported to become mentally well and healthy and to, I guess, know their power and their worth because they are incredible young people. And I think once young people know their power and their worth, you know, we've got an incredible group, as you say, of socially conscious, you know, globally intelligent young people. And I think if we have a healthy cohort of young people that know and have the confidence and worth to share their voice, then there's an incredible future ahead of us.
Oh, I live in that hope too, Megan. Mm-hmm. It's been fabulous hearing your story and understanding where you've come from and where you're going to. I'd love to keep in touch because I believe your mission is actually vitally important. So let's reconnect again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we are a small not-for-profit. We love to stay connected and we love to be able to share, you know, the stories of young people. You know, any support is obviously super grateful. We're on a bit of a mission till the end of the year to have 60 young girls sponsored to have some long-term therapeutic support. So we're launching something or have launched something called the Dandelion Project. And our aim is just to support young girls to bloom and be empowered in who they are so that we have incredible women in the future.
I would love to hear more about their stories. So let's keep in touch. Maybe I can have a chat with Lee next time.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. Thanks for having me, Kim.
Founder of Healed Tribe, Megan Stray, on a mission to support girls' mental health through the Dandelion Project. Healed Tribe provides youth mental health and well-being programs, retreat days, education, and therapeutic support to empower young girls aged 10 to 24. You'll find all the links in the show notes to get support, give, and participate in mental health first aid courses. Connect with me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, or go to my website to subscribe at kimclyden.com. That's kimclyden.com. That's where you'll find educational and engaging children's picture books, the RSS feed to this podcast, and all my contact details. Until next time, remember, you can be the change you want to see in the world.